This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 161, sponsored by Devil May Cry from Funimation, discount comic book service, and Netflix. Hello, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. It is episode 161. My name is Connor, and I'm here with Ron.
Hello.
And Josh.
Hola.
Happy Thanksgiving.
It's over.
Passed. It's over. It passed. You know what I realized during Thanksgiving was that we also missed our third anniversary of doing the podcast.
Yes, we did.
That was like November 17th-ish or something, right?
There are too many benchmarks.
Yeah.
Whee!
Pat yourselves on the back, guys. 3 years of podcasting right here.
How much is enough?
1 million downloads. 1 million downloads can't be wrong.
Or could they?
It's just a script I set up on my mom's computer.
There's only six of us. At iFanboy.com, we like comics. We read comics every week. There's nobody posting. That's all me, all day long, just under different names.
Connor has to singularly remember like thousands of passwords.
I have a big chart, and I just plot out who likes what book, and it's just it's a mess. We read comics
of all time.
Every week we read a bunch of comics. Man, the Batman thread this week took me all weekend.
All right, what are we?
We are a comic book discussion site. We like comics, read comics. Every week we read our comics. One of us picks the best one they read. They write about it on iFanboy.com. We come here and talk about it on the podcast, as well as other books of the week, other topics of interest, emails, voicemails, etc., etc. Before we get to the show, quick reminder, warning, this is a review show. We'll be talking about the books of the week and the plots. So if you haven't read your books yet, pause the show, come back later. Otherwise, you'll be spoiled, and that'll suck for everybody. This week, Josh had the quick pick before heading off on vacation.
I just realized that would make Connor the most prolific reviewer of all time. I don't know if I can live up to that sort of standard that he's set. I had, I think, 17 books that I had to read.
On a holiday weekend. Awesome.
Yeah, like Wednesday before I took off on the road. So it was just like people would call and I'd be like, I can't talk, please. Flip, 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 flip. No good. I guess this was a good week for comics. A lot of things came out, but I really at the end of the day, I was like, I wasn't feeling anything. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't a lot of stuff that stuck out to me. So you have to go with the gut feeling. And I chose Nova 19 strictly because I'd been enjoying it all along. But I think that when I got to the end of this one, and Ron, I assume you read this.
Oh, yeah.
The last page just made me crack up with glee.
Yeah, I love this book. I love this book so much.
Right. And then so at the end of that, I went, you know what? That was a great book. And it was I realized it when I got to the last page. And then I started to think about what it was that I liked about it. And it's that, you know, it's a 70s Marvel book. It's dressed up in today, but it's just action and melodrama and
science fiction.
It's all those things. And it's a lot of fun. And it's not... It's like a classic Marvel book, and there's not a lot of books that feel like that anymore. It is introspective, but it's not. There's no brooding. as far as I can tell, in this book at all.
It's not that gritty. It's not that. Yeah.
We're 19 issues in now. It's I would say it's underrated. Abnett and Lanning need more recognition for guys who are doing great, great books right now. This is the introduction of a new Nova Corps. And then at the end,
be honest, how awesome was it to see all to get like the introduction to the new Nova Corps members?
Yeah, that stuff's totally fun. And and it was one of those comics where they got to think of a bunch of different weird aliens, which is, again, it's the same thing as Green Lantern in that sense. Like, this is
it's different, though, because I don't know. And I don't know what it is, because I was wrestling with that, because you made some references to Green Lantern in your review and it always comes up and stuff like that. But there's something different about Nova that makes it different than Green Lantern. I don't know what it is.
Different character. It comes from a different place, whatever. But like the idea, like whenever they do a Nova Corps, they think of a bunch of different aliens and they put them in the greens, you know. And here there's like a dude who is a Shi'ar, and then there's one who's just a head, or something inside a Nova helmet. Then there's one who's like a dragon, who's a female whose cousin is Fin Fang Foom,
which is awesome.
That is like Green Lantern, though. I mean, it is.
I know it is, but I can't put my finger on it. That's something that differentiates it in my head away from Green Lantern.
The main characters are completely different.
The structure
that the character's up against is the same.
Yeah.
It's a police force. They're literally called a corps.
Yeah, but I guess the lack of the Guardians, and I just feel like Green Lantern is a little more highfalutin than the Nova Corps for some reason. If that makes any sense,
because this book has never gotten any traction until now, at least since it first came out. You know, when I was looking through it, and it had like if you look at these pages, even the layouts of the action pages are reminiscent of reading like old Neil Adams pages. You know, sort of the diagonal panel borders and it was a fun book. And I will say, like, one of the places when I'm looking through it, I'm trying to think about what it is I want to say about it. I do think that the pages where there are more conversational stuff and it's just faces, it does suffer a little there. I think it's at least it's a little flat. But besides that, like, the action stuff is very fun. And there's like, there'll be a big 2-page spread where it should be. And, you know, fiery fist beams floating out all over the place. And one of the things that when I was comparing it to sort of classic Marvel books is this, for the past few issues, they're back. Nova's back on Earth, and they've found a way to get the world mind, because he had been in Rich Rider's head for a really long time, and then he went offline because of the Galactus story a little while back, and so Nova had thought that he'd lost him, and in losing him, the entire Nova Corps and all their knowledge and everything, it'd be like if all the Guardians died. And then when they got to Earth during the Skrull invasion, they ended up at what's the name of the place?
Pegasus. I don't know.
Sorry. Okay. I was afraid I was going to say Star Labs.
I could be wrong. Is it Pegasus? I don't know.
I think it is. That was the thing on the tip of my tongue. Where just it so happens that Nova's brother Robbie works, and like the whole time, like his brother's like he's in nerdy glasses, and you know he's a scientist. He's no small thing, but he's like sort of like, man, my brother gets to get it better than me. My parents like him better than me, blah, 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 blah. And it was all so obvious. And so, again, if you're I want to give you an extra spoiler warning. If you're not reading this or you haven't read it yet, the last page is coming, ..
Well, before you get the last page, part of it was that, so World Mind, when they get the Pegasus, World Mind gets they put World Mind in like the computer of Pegasus. So now he's like there, and he's recruiting new Nova Corps members.
Right.
And Rich is pissed because he wants to be involved in that discussion and said that they wouldn't because he wasn't ready to start the core up again.
Right.
So,
Rich is Nova Prime. He's the head Nova or whatever. And what follows that is a really funny conversation, basically, where he's like, you're not going to do any more without me, right? And the computer goes, no. No, I won't. And, of course, like he walks out of the room and it's full of dudes in Nova uniforms. They're just everywhere. And then, like, you flip the page, and literally, like, the last thing is shocked Nova face, and he goes, oh, no! And it's his brother, Robbie, in a suit. He's like, hey, check it out! Look at me. Which is, like, it's so obvious that that's what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally where the story had to go. There was no other place to take it, and it was fun. I laughed. I was like, that's great. That's going to be just classic comic booky stuff, you know?
It totally is. It's just good science fiction, action, Marvel, you know, like you said, it's like 70s, but it's not hokey 70s. I mean, it's believable that's happening now, you know, like the, you know, even though how they get away with him saying Blue Blazes with it not being hokey, I have no idea.
They're skirting a razor thin line.
They really are.
They
really are. But like every page when like, so I mean, the issue starts off with Nova and the five new court members who Worldmind kind of recruited, and he kind of introduced them, and there's a bunch of posing Like the title page when they're all blasting into a situation, and then when they beat the bad guys in 1.8 seconds, and they're walked, you know, the dust being settled and everything. I mean, a lot of inspirational moments, you know.
Yeah, no, totally, and that's what it is. And if you're cool with that, and you want, like, I can use a comic like this. This comic helps me. It's a palate cleanser, if you will. You know, like, the thing is, this isn't going to win an Eisner Award. This isn't going to be maybe the comic book that, you know, people will be like, oh my God, this was amazing.
Yeah.
But it is going to be the one that you're going to have a lot of fun reading, and it's going to have that melodrama soap opera thing going through it as you go.
Yeah.
And it's just good comics.
Yeah,
you know,
it's good. Like I said, it's superhero comics because they're power and stuff like that. But it's you know, got the science fiction elements, got the Green Lantern-esque element. And if you like Green Lantern, totally pick this up. Pick up this issue. I mean, I think that, you know, this is a halfway decent jumping on point. You know, they explain what you need to know on the recap page, and you can just dive in and read this and have a good time reading it, I think.
Yeah, you don't really need to go back and get the ones before this. You could just read this, you'd be good.
Yeah.
And Guardians of the Galaxy is like the sister book, right?
Absolutely.
This is unusual they come out the same week, or is that normal?
I don't remember.
I don't think it's normal. I think it's a coincidence, and they're not tied into each other. So
they're the same sort of realm.
So Guardians of the Galaxy number 7 came out, and that's also written by Abnett and Lanning, and it's in the same kind of cosmic kind of science fictiony kind of type thing. But equally, reading Nova and then reading Guardians of the Galaxy right after was so much fun. Like,
I would say that you're absolutely right. Like, they're both that same kind of comic book. One of them is a team book and one of them is a solo book, basically.
Yeah.
I would give the art nod, if I had to Guardians of the Galaxy, where Paul Pelletier is you know, really ripping it up on this one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I was curious to see, Josh, what you think of Guardians of the Galaxy, because the surprise of 2008 when we get to doing our year end show, but the surprise in comics will be Josh's loving and enjoyment of Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy. But I was interested because you never read the Guardians of the Galaxy from 20 years ago, and this issue kind of featured them pretty obviously in the beginning. Was that easy for you to pick up on, or was it?
No idea what that was. I was a little confused on this one.
Okay.
The thing is, that to me is a very familiar feeling when I'm reading comics that I'm not terribly familiar with, and I know to go with it for the most part.
Well, I thought they did a good job of explaining who the original Guardians of the Galaxy was and explaining what you needed to know about them in the context of the story that's going on in this issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably just flew through it and didn't really realize it. No, I mean, what's funny is that I kind of, when I get to comics like this and there's stuff going on that I don't know, I work harder at grasping the stuff that I am familiar with and see if I can get more out of those parts, and I figure the other parts will make sense later.
Right.
Like, that's how I work with comics like this.
Right. Well, I mean, I just think it's interesting that what Abnett and Lanning are doing is they're writing characters who are 20, 30 years old. And they're doing them in a way that's not grim and gritty, like we said, and that's modern. It's got that 70s flavor, not hokey, but also with these characters with this rich history, where somebody like me, who read the books, you know, read the books in the 70s, read them in the 80s, and someone like you who's new to it, and it doesn't keep you from enjoying it. I think it's a subtle thing that I don't think many people other than us are noticing and really should be kind of celebrating, is the fact that if you like science fiction books, either of these two titles should be fun and you don't need to know anything about these previous characters.
I would digress with you in the fact that these are set in a science fiction way, but they're not science fiction in the way that I tend to think of it.
They're set in swashbuckling superhero science fiction, not Neal Stephenson science fiction,
Those are very different things to me. But at the same time, I've heard this a lot. I've said this a lot. You know, I'm not interested in cosmic Marvel, which is
a liar.
a huge liar.
Yeah, well, no, but the thing is, you know, it's a proof that if it's done well, if it's done in a certain way, it doesn't really matter, because characters are characters and fun is fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
you're
going to
be
reading
Quasar before you know it.
I hope not. I used to. I used to love Quasar.
See, you're a cosmic fan. You totally are.
Must be. I owe Jim Starlin
You should go back and read the Annihilation stuff. It was really good.
You know what? I really think I should, because they did that.
Yeah, they did.
They're these two, like, most underappreciated guys at Marvel, and I'm starting to feel like I feel bad for them. I feel like more people should be talking about this stuff, which are just sort of good classic comics. And with all of the stuff that is going on for the past 3 years, you know.
Just all of the stuff.
It's true. Like, the weight of Civil War and Secret Invasion and just all, like, this is just gleefully free of that.
Yep.
And I think that it feels so light and so you know, airy. It's so nice. Yeah. That it's
like
not
a nice souffle.
Yeah. I don't believe I've ever eaten souffle, so I don't know.
Oh, it's really nice. It can be nice.
I thought it was light, though. Rich, isn't it?
Cool, yeah. So if you're, so check out Guardians of the Galaxy and Nova. Just give them a shot. Seriously, I mean, they're only, these books are still $2.99. Check them out while you can.
Before you die.
But so, anyway, so Connor, I got to ask you something.
Yep.
What the hell happened in Batman?
All right, let me recount the day for you.
Okay.
Normally, I would read Batman last because I read my most anticipated book last. Mm-hmm. But everyone was talking about it. It was all over. By the time I left for the comic store, it was all over iFanboy.com. It was all over Twitter. Mm-hmm. It was in the mass media. So I got home and I sat down and I read it first because I just couldn't wait for all the other books. And
a lot of people have spoiled, huh?
Well, I mean, we'll get to that in a minute. But when I finished it, I closed it. I looked at the rest of my comics. And I walked away knowing that nothing I would read would be as good as what I just read.
Really?
Yep.
So you liked it?
I was blown away by it.
You are the first person who's spoken positively of it that I've spoken
to. That's not true at all. You need to go to ifanboy.com. It's the second highest pick of the week book. And
I
it's...
know. I mean, I've been offline because of the holiday, but everyone I've been hanging out and talking with and stuff like that, people have been very confused by it. You know, so I was curious to see what your opinion of it was.
You hang out with a lot of jaded people.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
I had a different experience than Connor.
Oh yeah, what was your experience like?
I don't even know. Like I wasn't confused. I got it, but at the end I just felt, I don't know. I guess I didn't feel like I got the ending that I wanted or was waiting for.
All right. Well, here. I'm not reading it. I'm the layman. Tell me what happened.
Well, basically, at the end of last issue, Batman was drugged. It was revealed that Jezebel Jett was in with a black glove.
Right.
And that's where we left it. And then in the beginning of this one, the Black Glove, after paralyzing him with the drug, has buried Batman in a coffin. They're going to dig it up right as the air runs out, so he's brain damaged. So he's basically a drooling, you know, corpse. And they're going to, you know, have beaten Batman. And then he, as being Batman, finds a way to escape from the coffin underground and comes back. And with a little bit of help from Nightwing, a little bit of help from the Joker. The Joker, because the Joker was helping the Black Glove, but as you know, with the Joker, he's never really on anybody's side but his own. So he kills one of the members for fun. There's a mass chaotic fight, and then Batman has it out with Dr. Hurt, and then there's a big explosion at the end. And
okay, so a couple questions from what I heard.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Did you? So is Batman dead?
No, but that's the thing. He was never going to die.
Okay.
We knew that. We talked about this.
He went down in the helicopter.
He went down in an explosion in a helicopter.
Yeah, there was no explosion. There wasn't even an explosion. I saw the page. The helicopter.
No, there was an explosion.
Down.
No, it exploded.
On this page.
Yeah, all right. And there's no body.
Assuming, yeah.
Right.
Well, that's exactly what happened to Joker in Death in the Family, though.
Right. Same ending, pretty much.
Right. Interesting.
We talked about it when they first, on the show, in fact, when they first announced it, we knew they weren't going to kill him.
Right.
Because Dark Knight, $1 billion worldwide, they're not going to kill Bruce Wayne. DiDio said, he said it this week, that he's not dead. He'll be back eventually. The story is what happens after this now.
So now, did his father have something to do with it?
No.
Okay. All right, somebody
We knew that too. We knew that also in the beginning, in the second issue, Alfred looked at the guy and said, Thomas Wayne.
Okay.
We knew that.
Right.
And then it ended with Nightwing holding the cape and the cowl, right?
Right.
So Nightwing's probably going to become Batman?
I'm assuming we're going to have a volleyball rotation here where Nightwing will become Batman.
Yeah.
Tim Drake will be Red Robin. Damian will be the new Robin, and then Nightwing will be over in Action Comics.
Tim, do you want to go out tonight? Oh, you know what? Actually, I got Batman duty tonight. Tuesdays is my night.
Wait, so Nightwing's going to be in Superman?
Nightwing's a completely different character that's being... We talked about this before.
I remember. The Kryptonian. Got it. Okay, yeah.
So there will be no Nightwing in the Batman books. Nightwing will be the Kryptonian character over in Superman.
This is very confusing.
This is all the Dio's... It seems like intricate plan to get rid of Nightwing.
Why is he obsessed with this? Again, with the Dick Grayson.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. I wasn't confused, and I want that to be clear. I didn't think that this was unclear. I knew what was going on. I remembered what had happened in the last one, lo these many months ago, when I started this one. I thought that was fine. I think I felt a little let down in the end because I guess the Black Glove to me never seemed all that threatening. Like...
Well, I think the biggest failing of this storyline, and I think it has to do with the fact that you have to have read all of Morrison's stories, because they all tied in, and the Black Glove has been there through the last 2 years.
No, and
so,
that's fine.
So if you've only read this, and it's not against you, it's against the strategy, is that if you've only read this one, you would be like, who the hell are these people? But if you've been reading all of Morrison's books, they've been there in the background for 2 years fucking with his life.
No, and that's fine, but I guess at the end of this, at the sort of climax of this whole thing, I should have felt like they had it, and I just felt like it was being a very much like, this is the overconfident criminal who's about to lose, which I know happens every time, but that's the challenge, is to sort of get your way around it. I don't know. I wanted some kind of another conclusion that was more satisfying, and I didn't feel like that was this. Mm-hmm. At the end, I felt fairly typical by the end of it, actually, I guess.
I think for me it was they had somehow had me convinced that they were really going to screw with him bad, and then at the end when Morrison shows that Batman was still Batman, even though he's been through all this harrowing stuff, he's still the most formidable man on the planet. It was exciting to me. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, and there was a couple of fist pumping moments where he.
Well, that's because you sit on a rope swing. Let's be honest.
I do. Oh, yeah. It's a very small seat, so I'm always on the edge of it.
So you were satisfied at the end. Now we're at the end of this RIP thing, and it was worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it was, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Right. And I'm looking forward to the world this leads to, you know? I'm looking forward to the stories that come out of... I mean, Nightwing has been Batman before, so it's not a big... We're assuming that. No one knows they could do anything, but we're assuming that Nightwing's going to be Batman now. But he's been Batman before, so it's not like a huge new thing, but it wasn't done that well, so maybe this will be an interesting exploration of the son who doesn't want to be the father, forced to be the father.
Is Morrison still writing it now?
That's the nebulous thing.
We don't even know, do we? That's why, yeah. Gaiman's doing a couple issues, well, I guess.
The next issue comes out next week, and it's Morrison. Oh, wow. Morrison does the next two, I believe, and then Denny O'Neil does some, and then Gaiman's doing the last Batman story, and then that jumps to the new paradigm. And then the question is originally going to be Grant Morrison, and now there's some doubt as to whether or not he's doing it because of his clashing with DiDio.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows.
In 8 months,
really.
It's all going to be a memory, and Marv Wolfman's going to be writing Batman.
Oh, God.
That'd be awesome.
You know that's going to happen. If not him, then somebody else.
It's not going to be Chuck Dixon.
you know who could write Batman? I'd be cool with it.
Who?
Rick Remender.
Because he wrote it in the End League number 6.
Exactly. How about that? Yeah. I'm not a fan of the design of his Batman analog. Yeah. Because it's like a skull face thing. I forget his name. Oh, his name's Codename Black, too, which is – I don't like it. But anyways, he's clearly a Batman character in this one. N-League 6, still Eric Canetti on pencils. It's like a whole other book still. Yeah. Whereas before, I wasn't following it, and I wasn't getting the point of it. This makes more sense because – I don't know. I don't know if it's the energy in the pages or what it is. But like he's just taken the classic myths of Superman of Batman and Joker and twisted them a little bit to have this other really strange world.
Yeah, I mean it's clear who's who, and it's clear who the right. the amalgam or whatever it is. The analogs are supposed to be, but it's just slightly left of center enough to be not just like oh whatever, you know what I mean? Like it's and definitely Canetti's art is for me on this title is the reason to be showing up.
Yes.
But that said, I really liked the ending. I really liked the discussion with the cowboy guy and the Captain America dude and stuff like that. Like I'm like cool, I want to know what happens, you know? Like
I don't know who is the cowboy guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
When you said that, you knocked him out of my head. Prairie Ghost. I mean, is he supposed to be Ghost Rider or
no? I don't Soldier. He's the only character who I don't know who he's supposed to be.
All right. Does somebody know? Somebody tell us.
Okay.
By the way, Arachna Kid is their Spider-Man guy, and he's disgusting.
Yeah, totally freaky. Totally freaky.
It's really funny because really the thing is, if you had a person who joined with a spider,
yeah.
He'd be gross.
Yeah.
He'd be
shooting webs out of his ass.
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah, but he'd be gross, and he is in this, which is fine. Although he's still like, he's called the Arachna Kid, which sounds like it's cute. And he's quippy the same way, but he's disgusting. He has extra eyes. He's got little bits sticking off of him.
Oh, that's gross. I just love I love the subtle Aeon Flux reminiscence in the art.
Yeah.
You know?
Now that you know it, it's so...
Yeah, now that you know it's like, oh, of course! It's, but I still love... Because I love that. I love that cartoon. I mean, I loved it.
I love how fluid these pages are. If you look at some of them, it's just there's so much dynamic sort of feeling to them, and they move and they pull you in one direction, and they sort of like they have these fluid curves to everything. That's sort of it's good stuff. I really love this. I want to see him do more work.
Very cool.
I'm very excited about that.
Hey, so Just Society of America Kingdom Come Special, the Kingdom one shot came out, and
it did.
And my two thoughts of this are it looks like we're turning the corner on the on GOG, and he's going from creepy to, oh, this isn't what it's cracked up to be. and two, why isn't this just an issue of Justice Society?
Why isn't this just an issue of Justice Society?
My question is, why does it matter?
Oh, I don't know.
I had to buy an issue.
Yeah.
You would have had to buy it anyway.
But just do it in the book, though. I don't.
If it said Justice Society of America number 27 on the cover, you still had to buy it. It doesn't matter what the cover says.
I know, but they already put out a 27, so I'm buying two other issues, and one of them.
Well, you know what I mean. Whatever the number.
Well, I'm not worried about the numbering or the buying of another issue or anything like that. I want to know what is it about these issues that, like, is this a fifth week event? Is this like what is it about these issues that make them not have to be in the pages of the regular book? That's
it doesn't
all
matter. At the end of the day, the cover is irrelevant. It's the same story.
Not amazing.
It's like when 52 did their special World War III issues. It's the same thing.
But I just think about the poor person who reads Justice Society of America who didn't know to pick this up.
Yeah.
And they would know.
Not necessarily.
This is why we have issue runs and numbers, so we know what order to read them in.
Right.
Like, suppose someday you're going and you're looking for back issues. You're doing whatever. Like, it's just...
In the mythical future where there's no back issues anymore.
Here's the thing about these special issues and things like this, like, you know, like 52 and these one-off stuff like that, is that they work best when they're not crucial to whatever the main thrust of the story is. And if you're going to tell me what happened in this issue isn't crucial to what's happening in Justice Society, then
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it doesn't matter that it's not an issue. I'm saying it comes out sequentially.
But we're talking about two different things. What I'm saying is that I feel as if what happened in this issue was important enough to somebody who's reading Justice Society that it should be in the main book. Like, I don't understand why this got peeled off to a special. It wasn't like we're gonna go look at this character in the background and look at what's going on here, and it doesn't really matter to the bigger story. You can read it if you like it. You know, you know what I mean?
Two reasons. Yeah. One, it would have made the story 12 parts and people would have freaked out. And it would have taken a year to tell them a GOG story. So people would have been angry for that reason. They're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. They've got to put the story out. And if it lasts a year, people are more angry than if they have to buy it.
I wonder if this Johns is like, okay, and then we're going to do these one-shots, or if it's editorial going, I'll break it up into these one-shots. And that's more businessy nitpicking, which I'm saying. But I mean, this, if you're reading Justice Society and you didn't pick this up, you have to pick this up. Because A, it was awesome. And B, like, important stuff happened. You know?
Yeah, so. There was every third panel was the creepy GOG smile, though. There's a few of out there who know what this is going to be like. At the very end, GOG turned Vern Schillinger on us.
Yes.
It was just like, hey, you like your new room? Do you want to see my tattoos? What? And that's totally what the end of this was. He literally said, all of you on your knees.
Yep.
And you don't want to hear that from somebody with a lot of power. And then the look on their faces in the next panel is,
it was priceless. It was great. I love Justice Society right now.
Because
so
you know
weird.
You're knee-deep in shit when Hawkman goes, what the? Like, you know that's not good. That's very not good.
Oh, it was so good, though. I just love this book. I love the title.
It's definitely picked up since it got a little slow for a while.
Yeah, well, the Power Girl stuff brought it down, but yeah. But anytime with GOG, it just is wonderfully creepy. Wonderfully creepy.
That stuff, the Earth 2 stuff.
Yeah.
That, you could have put that in the other, I'd be okay
totally,
with that.
Yeah, totally. I think it was in the annual, wasn't it?
I guess. Yeah. I don't remember. A lot of issues. I guess he doesn't have time to put all these out. He's putting out so much work that they have to make up new formats.
Yeah. He's reinventing the industry.
Listen, we can only do 12 issues. I have 19 issues of stuff, and it has to come out now. It must be. It has to happen.
So before we move on, I want to tell everybody about Devil May Cry, the anime series from Funimation. They've got the complete series. Volumes 1, 2, and 3 now are available on DVD. Devil May Cry focuses on Dante, who's cursed by his half-monstrous, half-human nature. Dante must spend his life fighting the forces of darkness, demons, big ones, sly ones, crafty ones, sexy ones. Everybody loves demons, and they come in all shapes and sizes, and somebody's got to send them back to hell, and Dante's happy to do it, especially if there's money involved. That sounds pretty awesome. So if you think that sounds awesome, you can go check it out. You can watch some clips and trailers at Funimation.com/Devil May Cry. Then you can pick up Devil May Cry, available now on DVD from Funimation. So that's Funimation.com/Devil May Cry.
If you got to fight demons, it's sexy ones.
Sexy demons are really the ones you want to fight, yeah.
You guys probably ever played Devil May Cry, right? The video game?
Oh, yeah, totally.
The game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff.
Good stuff. So I want to talk about Savage Dragon number 141 for two reasons. Number one, it probably had the best cover I've seen in a very long time.
It was very cool, although standing on the cover.
Yeah, what they did was, because what's going on in Savage Dragon right now is that a hero, a Golden Age hero by the name of, I want to say, Solar Man, and that is correct.
Didn't he fight Superman in Superman 4?
Yeah. No, it's a different guy. So there, so Solar Man has returned, and he is basically killing anybody who he deems needs to be killed in the name of justice. He's taking the whole superhero thing too far.
It's Punisher.
Exactly. And so what happens is that Dragon, as well as all of the top heroes of the Image universe, including Spawn and Witchblade and Shadowhawk and Invincible, are trying to stop him, but he's completely invincible, completely, you know, unstoppable. And then what happens in this issue is that we find out that Solar Man actually has this kind of device where he's captured all of the Golden Age heroes and is siphoning their power off and feeding it into him. That's why he's so invincible. And so what happens is that the Golden Age heroes get freed, Solar Man becomes weaker, and Savage Dragon's able to punch his head off, which is awesome. But so on the cover, what you've got is you've got Dragon, Spawn, Witchblade, Shadowhawk, and Invincible facing off against Solar Man, all the Golden Age characters. But all the Golden Age characters are done in this kind of Golden Age kind of, you know, aged look, you know, like kind of dot pitch in the art, and there's like folds and scratchy and stuff like that. But then Dragon and Spawn and Invincible are all like colored today, and they're all on top of the Savage Dragon logo. It's just an awesome cover. It's like a Neil Adams cover. It was just like, oh, it was so good.
It was very inventive.
Yeah, very inventive. And this continued Eric Larson playing with the public domain Golden Age characters, similar to some of the characters that are in Project Superpowers over at Dynamite. You know, the Daredevil and Thor and Uncle Sam and all those kind of characters that are in the public domain now, which is kind of fun. This is a great issue, and very quietly, Savage Dragon's been a monthly book. Past 3-4 months, it's come out on time.
Once he stepped down from being in charge.
And it makes me happy. Yay, Savage Dragon.
Superman 682, I thought, was the best issue of New Krypton so far.
Well, then.
I need to read comics the same. It's like I didn't think it was bad. I just there wasn't a whole hell of a lot I loved about it. I like the idea the worm has turned. Now the Kryptonians are awful. I like the plotting in it. I don't know if I enjoyed the reading of it as much.
I liked the character stuff. I liked the stakes getting raised. I like that we're seeing now what's going to happen. What we found out this week, extra from the comic, is that New Krypton, this miniseries, is setting up 2009, which is the New Krypton year. This Kryptonian storyline is going to be the storyline in Superman throughout the entire year. Where these Kryptonians are here for 2009.
I'm going to be hearing about this for the next 12 months.
Yeah, so we're not going to have a resolution to the Kryptonians being on Earth in this mini. This mini is setting up the new Superman paradigm, like RIP set up the new Batman paradigm. So we're seeing is what's happening. What is this world going to be like, where they take all of the supervillains, throw them into the negative zone, and now you've got a world full of Kryptonians. Some are good, some are bad, and just some fantastic Superman stuff in here. So I think James Robinson's really sort of nailing the feel of Superman.
These pages are packed.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the pages and the number of words and the panels, like, he's struggling to put all of this stuff, you know, into the single issue, it feels like. I think for me, the only thing was because I have a very low level of familiarity with that, I didn't know who a lot of these characters were, so it's, you know, the significance of it means less. So, like, the last page is you turn and you see they put them all in the Phantom Zone, and then there's one good man in the Phantom Zone, and it's Mon-El. I don't know who that is. I mean, I can assume, but
he's a Legionnaire.
Yeah, has less impact for me is all.
Yeah.
Do Kryptonian type supervillains still have their powers in the Phantom Zone?
I don't know how the Phantom Zone works between all the different versions of the Phantom Zone. I imagine they do. I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, I don't really.
Listen. Well, it's just that. Look, I don't know. Back off, man. What the hell?
Mon-El is a Daxamite. Or is he a Kryptonian? I don't remember.
Blah, 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 blah.
He's a Legion character. I'm not going to buy that Legion book. That's Mon-El. The only one I'm not going to.
That's a stupid.
They announced a bunch of new Superman books for next year, and one of them I won't be buying is Adventures Comics.
Yeah, Mon-El sounds like some sort of disease. Unknown Soldier number 2 by Josh Dysart and Alberto Ponticelli on art. Basically, just a continuation of the last one. Cleared some things up. I thought was good. It was needed to. The last one was a little vague, which is fine. This is sort of how Vertigo stories work. It's an African missionary doctor Doctors Without Borders kind of thing, and shit goes wrong, and he finds out, you know, he's suddenly got this killer spirit in him, and his face gets burned off, and now he's got a bunch of bandages on it, like the classic Unknown Soldier. That takes place in the horrors of modern day Africa, and it's interesting. It's just good. It's clearly, it's almost like Josh Dysart's putting so much into this that it's almost transparent, because he wants to do such a good job of it, because he considers the material in that area of the world to be important. If you read those little Vertigo descriptions that they put in, you know, like the focus was on his book last time, this, you know. It's good, though. It was a good continuation. It's like sometimes you read a book and you feel like they're just phoning it in, and sometimes you read a book and you can see they're trying so hard on, and this is the latter. You can always respect that. And I think that this could get really interesting. It's very bloody.
Cool.
Africa's bloody right now.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of bloody, Northlanders number 12 by Brian Wood and Ryan Kelly on pencils. This is the second issue of the of this arc, which is focusing on a Viking invasion of Ireland, and there's a one Irish dude who's got his daughter with him, and he's kind of striking back against the Vikings, taking them out kind of guerrilla style, and there's this Viking captain who's trying to track him down, and it's a really great narrative where the narration is the Viking captain writing letters to the king, telling him what's the status of trying to track this guy down, all the while the action happens. Really interesting to see Ryan Kelly, who we knew and loved from Local, do like Vikings and battles and blood and stuff like that. Pencils are really, really good. They're really good. So I'm really, really enjoying this arc of the Viking violence.
I can't even imagine that arc.
What's so funny is that I read the first issue and I got like halfway through. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And I looked, I'm like, oh my God, it's Ryan Kelly. I was just like, it totally blew me away. It was that good.
He's really good. I just can't imagine him doing action.
He was on Lucifer, which is nothing like Local.
Yeah.
You know, it was him and another guy, Peter Rose. But
it's funny when you have an artist, when you enjoy an artist and you don't, you only in one context. And then they do something different, and it's just like, whoa, look at that. So it's pretty cool.
Night Witch is 2 of 3. Battlefields, it's sort of the ongoing overall title, but this is the Night Witch's story. By the way, the fact that this is only 3 parts is a little disconcerting. There should be more. It's that good.
I think they're all 3 parts, right?
Yeah.
Dear Billy is the next one that's advertised in the book. That's 3 parts as well, I believe. It's really good, though, this one.
Yeah, it was really good, and this was actually a contender for Pick of the Week, but it was just more of the same of the last one, and I didn't really have anything else to say about it other than I really dug it. And again, like the thing that I pointed out last time was that there's such a good differentiation between characters who are all just humans and they're all in matching uniforms. And it was so, like, I just was looking as I went through it, and that's like the best thing that you can do with cartooning is that you can find these ways to make the characters different, and it's done so well. Good characterization development also.
I love the awkward romance between, or the awkward flirtation between, not even overt, between the guy in charge and the pilot. It was really good.
It was subtlety done in comics, which is always a thing of beauty when done well.
Yeah, loved Dear Billy's 3 parts as well. Peter Snergberg, next one.
Oh, I love him. I can't say it. He was the artist on the latter half of Starman.
Yeah.
And did a couple of the Preacher specials, but I don't remember which ones.
Okay.
I'm glad this book exists.
Finally, part 4 of 4, The Secret Invasion Inhumans. Again, another story that takes place after Secret Invasion. Oops. Or like at least as it's over. I wanted to like this a lot. And there was parts of it that were good. It was fun to see the Inhumans because people just don't use them enough. And they're such a fun little family. But like literally the plot for this was, in order to rescue Black Bolt, the remaining Inhumans had to find like 3 pieces, and then once they have those, then they could. I was like, this was such a video game plot, and I was just like, that's so lame. Or it's such
like an episode
like
of G.I. Joe where they have to find
exactly,
the pieces of the cannons.
Yeah.
That was the best.
That was awesome. That was a great G.I. Joe arc. That was really good.
That was great when I was 10 and it was in the 80s, but on a modern comic book written by a hero's staff writer, I think I just expected a little more.
Oh, you shouldn't expect more from a hero's writer. Come on.
I teed you up there like a kid in the ball field.
You really did. Oh, man, I caught off on Heroes this weekend. Holy crap, the Red Hulk mentioned in the last episode. Whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
That's probably what did it.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's what I said. Yeah, I tweeted about it. I'm sorry.
There was actually a thing in this that happened that bugged me. Is that like Black Bolt gets freed and like his Skrull captor is like, I'm sorry, it's a big mistake. And then he attacks him with a big thing foot. And then Black Bolt whispers in his ear and it blows the guy to goo. But as far as I know, that I didn't know he had that much control. Way that I understood it, Black Bolt's smallest whisper could level a mountain.
He's got control. I mean, it's easy to say that the smallest whisper can level a mountain, but he does have control over the power.
I don't like it like that. I like the idea that, like, no, seriously, I like the idea that like, it's like a nuclear bomb. The smallest use of his power has remarkable consequences. So, like, there's no small nuclear explosion.
Oh, yeah, there are.
There's only, like, so basically, he's only got the one.
Tactile nuclear weapons.
Bunker
totally.
Busters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even so, he's in a spaceship. I want at least the spaceship to blow up.
Right.
Like, I want him to be that badass.
They are inconsistent in that. The Illuminati story, he whispered and it blew the whole ship up. So it's kind of
this is what I'm talking about. And I like that better. It just feels more, you know, big. It feels more majestic, I suppose. And I like them to stick to that. That's how I would do it. So he's got to figure out other ways to not use his power and still be badass, you know?
Cool.
Gotcha.
That's all.
You can go to iFanboy.com and you can rate and review your books after you make a pull list, and then you can write a review. And sometimes we highlight the best ones or the most interesting ones on the show. And here we go. Joe Com reviewed Umbrella Academy Dallas, number one. He gave the story a 5 out of 5, the art a 4 out of 5, and 16.4% of the iFan base picked it as their pick of the week as of this recording. And he says, well, it's here at last, the second story to the trippy Umbrella Academy, and it did not disappoint. The story kicks off 17 years in the past, where President Kennedy needs Sir Reginald Hargreaves' children for a top-secret mission. But at the moment, the children are stopping the rampage of the Lincoln Monument. I kid you not, it was awesome. Though I don't like Gerard Way's band, I do enjoy his comics. Gabriel Ba's art is just as good as his other comics, which I do happen to like. Which, overall, I really enjoyed this comic. If you haven't read the first arc, I would suggest you go back and read that before reading this.
I would almost disagree with Joe and just say, who cares if you didn't read the last one? Pick this up and read it, because I think that I don't really think you need to know everything. There's a pretty cool recap page on the inside cover. I gotta give Gabriel Ba and Gerard Way credit. And Dave Stewart. This is good. It was really good.
I bought the trade of the first mini, and it was really fun.
Yeah, and this is even more fun. Connor, this first
it seems issue. Like it from the description. Yeah,
and there's a great fake magazine back cover of Kennedy, Kennedy's secret meetings. And it looks awesome. It's like all aged and stuff. It's really cool.
I love the qualifications of Gerard Way at this point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are having trouble talking good about the book. It's really
I know. I like in the beginning, it was like blah, blah, blah. Now everybody's like, all right, I can separate the two. Like, because people love this book almost unconditionally. I haven't heard any bad reviews of it. People really, really dig it.
You know what's even funnier is that because of this book, I might start listening to his band.
I don't think you will.
Go figure it out. No, I downloaded one song. It's pretty good.
You know, the guy from the Goo Goo Dolls could come out with the best comic book ever, but it ain't gonna. Anyway.
All right.
Their concept album had good reviews.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'm gonna listen to my what's their name? My Chemical Romance. I was gonna say My Bloody Valentine. Anyway, all right. So our next review comes from Mr. Mister, which is an awesome band. who wrote a review of Daredevil number 113, of which he gave the story a 4 out of 5 and the art a 4 out of 5. And just about 1% of the iFan base made it their pick of the week this week. And Mr. Mister says, as cool as Lady Bullseye is, and she's very cool, Master Izzo has been my favorite part of the storyline thus far. Not much else to say. We get pretty much the same as usual, which is an excellent all-around issue where people try to make Matt Murdock's life even more of a living hell. In fact, it is because of this that I feel like the great Master Izzo works so well. As great as this book has been, it can get old constantly watching someone get shit on, and it is Izzo's humor which helps to break up the generally somber tone of the book. Hopefully he, as well as Luke, Danny, and Dakota, continue to be featured prominently in our monthly meetings with Mr. Murdock.
I completely agree with him.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed this issue a lot. I give it 5 stars. I enjoyed it more than I have enjoyed Daredevil in a long time because there was a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
It wasn't so dour. The problem I've had with Daredevil for so long is it's been so dour and not fun. But this was they didn't focus on Matt being miserable. There was action. There was laugh out loud moments. There was good stuff in here. It was just a lot of fun, and that was the missing ingredient in Daredevil
How is Master Izzo different than just like Stick though? Like,
he's the same.
Well, there's some connection between the two that we don't know yet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and I get that, but I was just like, I don't even know Daredevil. That's Stick. That's who that is.
I thought of him more as the Soft Master. I kept thinking of the Soft Master.
Who's that?
From G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
he totally is the Soft Master. Good call.
He was really familiar, and I was like, is this just a what is? I just felt like I'd totally seen that before, or like a billion characters out of Lone Wolf and Cub, I guess. But that's fine.
I love when Michael Lark draws rain.
Yeah.
I feel like they make him draw rain a lot.
Yeah, and it's so always good. There's that one page of Daredevil standing in the rain looking at it. Yeah, oh, it was so good. Yeah, it was really, really good.
It's like he gets the script and it's like exterior, nighttime, rain. Motherfucker. In the rain, he calls him up. Ed, seriously. It's like, it's got to be raining, dude.
Well, he does live in Portland, so,
If he's smart, he's got a rain Seattle Photoshop filter and he just puts it over the panel.
One of those places. All right, so head over to iFanboy.com, do your pull list. You can rate your comics, write your own reviews, and maybe we'll feature your review on the show in a future episode.
Yes, and then in between, go check out Netflix. There are over 100,000 titles, no late fees, free shipping both ways. Now they got Blu-ray titles and on demand. You can if you have the Xbox 360, you can do it that way, which is pretty cool. Or there's the Roku box. There's all sorts of ways to get movies from them. But if you just do it regular old mail, you can probably get them within one day. You can get a plan starting at $4.99, and you can get a free 2-week trial if you get a www.netflix.com/iFanboy.
Yes,
they are part of my life.
Yay, Netflix. I finally watched Stephen Topolowski's Birthday Party, Connor.
How was that?
It was great. It was really good. If it's not in your queue, put it in. It was really good.
I watched Leatherheads, which was funny.
Oh, cool.
I watched Sunshine, which I really like.
I liked that up until the very end.
Yeah. All right. I thought it was beautiful.
Different podcast.
Yeah.
So on to the email. First email comes from Adrian Z, who asks, I was wondering.
Adrian's fan of Dance Fever. Oh, my God.
And from Grease 2, right?
Yes.
I was wondering what you guys would do with either Marvel or DC if you had editorial control over the companies for a few years. I'd be keen to know what stories you would go for and what direction you would like to take certain characters. Do we have enough time to answer this question?
Well, let's do two quick from each, one from each one quickly. If I was in charge of Marvel, I would do an entire calendar year without an event.
Okay.
I would just do let everybody have their stories for 1 year, and then I would go back to an event at the end of it. But I would do 1 year of no events. And at DC, I would – getting into the problems with editorial is too much right now, but I would totally overhaul the trade paperback program. That would be my number one that would be my promise to you, the voter. My number one priority upon taking office would be to overhaul the trade paperback program, which is a disaster.
Yeah, it is.
More on the DCU side than the Vertigo side, although the Vertigo side has a few problems.
Yeah. Fascinating. All right, Josh?
Wow. It's just so much. I mean, like, I think that idea about, like, just doing things good, like, separating the stuff that needs to be separated and let those – put really good people on those books – and let those books do their things. Do like literally I'd cut things down a lot. I'd go one Avengers team, you know, a Fantastic Four book, a Spider-Man book, maybe two at the most, you know, all of that extra stuff, cut some of that stuff down, but just let those books be in their own thing for a while and just get I don't know specifically, but you know, you put the people on the things who are really good and who want to do it and you go with that and again, like kill the events, kill the crossovers for right now. Just focus on making really good books, which probably wouldn't make any money, and then I'd be out.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I would reboot. That would be a great 6 months.
I would reboot Uncanny X-Men at number one.
Hey, fuck you. what I would do on Marvel is I would probably lay off about a third of the staff. That's number one. Number two, then I would introduce. Well, it's tough times, you know, the recession. Number two is I would install the much ballyhooed continuity office. And I would make the shared Marvel universe like it was in the 60s and 70s more prevalent, although not like you got to read every book, but like, hey, what's Thor doing? Go check that out. You know, that sort of thing. That's what I do in Marvel. And in DC, I would just make Geoff Johns the editor-in-chief and let him write everything.
But you are editor-in-chief.
I'd step aside and let Geoff Johns do it.
Yeah, make him editor-in-chief. He couldn't write anything then.
Yeah, and if no time for writing. It's like Eric Larson.
He can write his core books and come up with the ideas for everything else. I'm just going to ride that Geoff Johns train until it crashes.
It's got to crash soon. That poor guy.
Yeah, I know.
He has gray hair now. Did you know that?
Does he? No. He's young.
Not anymore.
Yeah, all right.
Look at him now. He's hunched.
John from Norway writes and says, hey, guys, I'm a big fan of the show, and I have some questions I'd like to ask. Do you guys read digital comics? If so, on which sites? Do you think DC should get their own digital comics website?
Don't they have one? It's called ZudaComics.com.
Yes,
but
they do.
Like a Marvel type one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they absolutely should. And if they're not, they're gonna fall. They're going to fail.
Oh, I don't know how successful Marvel's is.
That seems pretty good.
I don't know how successful. Yeah. I'm not
people, from what I understand, people who read Marvels really like it, except for the fact that the organization is sparse and it doesn't quite make sense what's there and what's not.
Well, yeah, because they're slowly adding titles and issues and stuff like that. But I got to say, our Brian from Scam School lives on it. Like, mm-hmm. he loves it. That's the majority of what he reads is the Marvel.
And it's a good interface and it works. I mean, you don't get to download anything and that gets to some people. But the fact is, if you're on a web connected computer, which most people are most of the time,
yeah,
you know, it works and people like the way it works from my understanding and from the little I've played with it, which isn't a lot. But yeah, I mean, DC absolutely needs to
get
with it. But right.
Paralyzed by fear of digital comics.
Everybody is. It's the music all over again. It's sad. All right. So if you have a question, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com.
And while comics are still paper, you can go to DCBS. They got monthly specials up to 75% off, 40% off major publishers with flat rate shipping of $5.95 for all U.S. orders. And you can buy anything that is listed in previews. They've got over 5,400 trade paperbacks in stock and available for order. And you can track your orders online at www.dcbservice.com.
Yay. So on to the voicemail. Our first voicemail comes from Casey from Philly, who's got a couple of DC-centric questions.
Hey, guys. This is Casey from Philadelphia, driving up to my alma mater, Ithaca College. I thought I'd give you a call. I had two questions. One, with all the different Green Lantern colors, emotional spectrum things, a ring's coming for you to you. Which ring is it? Are you angry? Are you happy? What's going on? And then, Josh, what do you think of this Justice League by James Robinson? Starman's great. Don't know about his Superman. Give me a thought. Thanks, guys.
Casey from Ithaca strangely doesn't sound like my roommate.
Why is he going to Ithaca? Interesting.
He was an alma mater.
I know, but it's our alma mater. We weren't going.
He was like, probably
was
going.
Was there an event? Was he going to homecoming or something? Or the Cortica jug?
I think we probably missed an event.
That fucking Cortica jug pissed me off every year.
This isn't for anyone but
me. No, yeah. It was the five people who went to Ithaca to listen to the show.
What so, rings are we?
I would probably get the beige ring of indifference.
You're not indifferent. Not which yet. One's for sluts? I want the sluts.
That's the
one.
That's the pink one.
I'll be pink.
Pink sluts? Yeah, I thought it was purple.
No, pink's the sluts. I feel an affinity to the blue lanterns. I don't know why.
What are they? Happy or something?
Hopeful.
You know? No, you are totally indigo. You are totally the blue lanterns.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
You're totally the red lanterns.
Me?
Yeah. Angry.
I'm the sluts one.
Connor's like he's one of the alpha lanterns. Yeah. Must obey. There's a fucking set of rules here, people.
What about Josh? Which one do you go for?
Is there a sarcasm core? Like, literally, like, I don't fit in. I don't remember them.
You're a yellow lantern.
He totally is a yellow lantern.
You're just being mean. There's no logic.
You're ruled by fear.
What does that mean?
Oh, it's funny. All right, moving on. What do we think? James Robinson. Did James Robinson Justice League come out yet?
No. I'm offended.
Oh, please, Alpha Lanterns, whatever.
This is the top to the apex. I got called either a bad guy or a coward.
How often do you go outside? The outside world scares you.
What color do you self-identify with?
I like orange.
All right.
What are they?
Greed? Greed? That sounds about right.
That's fine. I don't. Oddly enough, I don't remember what all the colors are because that story.
Red is rage, orange is greed, yellow is fear, blue is hope, indigo is compassion, violet is sluts, and black is hate. Whatever it is,
death.
You know what's funny about James Robinson's work is, and I think that this will become apparent as you keep reading Superman because he doesn't seem to be actually going anywhere, contrary to the rumors, is that it pays off later. I loved Starman, but I didn't really like it until I got quite a ways through it, and then I really saw what was happening. So it's hard to judge. So you can say you don't like his Superman, but he's not very far into it. So I think if you give it a lot of time, then you'll see that payoff will come later. But then again, that's a big investment. I don't know anything about his Justice League book.
We're assuming it's even gonna come out. That's
yeah. He's fantastic with character, but he's a real slow burn kind of writer. And it is not immediately apparent why something is good. He's not going to be a great single-issue guy where you're going to read his first issue and go, that was amazing. That's not what the kind of guy he is, far as a writer, from what I understand.
Cool.
But that's assuming if the book comes out. Well, we don't know. We haven't heard anything since the initial announcement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our next voicemail has got a question about one of our favorite writers.
Hey, this is Will from Tennessee, and I was just wondering, what you guys think is the deal with Ed Brubaker lately? I mean, anybody who's ever posted on the forums of the website knows that I'm basically the biggest Ed Brubaker whore ever. But, I mean, even I'm starting to think that, you know, his books just are not quite as good as they were last year. I mean, you know, last year he pretty much owned the pick of the week, and this year, you know, he hasn't even owned my pick of the week. And, you know, I'm an Ed Brubaker whore. So, you know, I was just curious why you guys think his writing seems to, you know, just not be as sharp as it used to be, or, you know, just kind of lost some of its magic. So, anyway, I hope you guys have a good week. Talk to you later. Bye.
This is amazing.
It is amazing.
I mean, like every for a year straight, like if we were like, well, this was really good, but there was that one panel, and he'd be like, why do you hate Ed Brubaker?
Yeah. But is Will maturing in his tastes?
He's seeing the way things are.
Well, I think what happened to Brubaker in this past year is that he got like a online video show deal, and as a movie deal, and basically the Brian K. Vaughnification of Brubaker is beginning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe. Yeah, it does feel like there's less going into them. The thing is, when I say that, like, Captain America is excellent. It's better than 90% of the books out there, but it's not blowing me away every month like it did before.
Daredevil is just a textbook in depression.
Yeah, I think they've been coasting. They've been coasting at a very high level, but they have been coasting.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, as I said before, Daredevil this week was better than it's been in, for me, even months. But right. There's still a sense of it's kind of the same story for the last year for each book.
Yeah, Criminals.
Criminal's been great, though. Criminals
just come out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and it's over. This is it for Criminals. So we'll see.
Yeah, and we'll see what the new one is, though. What is the new series?
Incognito,
yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I don't know. And he's off of X-Men, so who knows? Oh, well, that happened.
All right, so. No, but, hey, it's hard to look down, you know, look away from the money from the film projects.
Yeah, no, I don't blame him at all. He's allowed to eat
steaks every night.
All right, so if you have a question, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. Leave a voicemail, tell us who you are, where you're from, and keep it to 30 seconds, please.
You can go to ifanboy.com to read Josh's full Pick of the Week review of Nova number 19, as well as all of our other in-depth comic book discussion and weekly columnists and all the fun stuff that happens at ifanboy.com.
And also while you're there, you can check out ifanboy.com/store, where you will see links to purchase the books that we talk about in the video shows and things like that. And another way that, especially in the holidays, that you can use that to get over to amazon.com, and stuff you buy there will count for us, and we will get some credit for that, which is helpful. Also, we will have updated recommendations soon. Some of us have them. Some of them do not, but we will. So some of the stuff that we like outside of just comics.
Yes.
Yeah, do your holiday shopping with iFanboy.
Yes, please. And as Josh mentioned, we got this video show that comes out every Wednesday. You can check it out at ifanboy.com or at revision3.com/ifanboy. Last week, we kind of delved in some of your voicemails, and so you might want to listen to that to hear if you got on the show. And this week, you know, there's a Punisher movie coming out, so we thought it'd be good to talk about Frank Castle, also known as the Punisher.
Is that his name?
Yes, it is his name, Frank Castle.
Was that a 5-minute show? I couldn't remember.
Oh, shit.
Funny.
If you have TiVo, we are on there. That's where the video show, you can see it on your television.
In high definition.
In the free download section. Yes. It's awesome.
Whether you're in HD or not, you won't see iFanboy t-shirts quite yet.
He says it
every week. That's my entire life with Ron. No, it's almost ready. He's like a pizza guy.
No, really. If I were you, I'd pay attention in early December.
Revision 3 store will be there soon. Until then, there is the iFanboy Pride group on Flickr, which is flickr.com/group/iFanboyPride, and there's pics of folks wearing iFanboy t-shirts, which is neat, so we thank Pink Sage for setting that one up.
Pink Sage rocks. Okay, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave a voicemail, as I mentioned earlier, at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697.
Social networks can be found at fanboy.com/about, our MySpaces, our Comic Spaces, our Verbs, our Facebooks, our Twitters, all those things, Goodreads,
and
other ones.
Twitter.com/ifanboy is where you can see pertinent links and pleas to dig articles and to hear when we're streaming live and stuff like that. So get on Twitter.
Not doing that again in a while.
Yeah, no, after that one. Whew, 6 hours.
Didn't have to stay on that long.
it was a vortex. It was awesome.
You couldn't stop. Once the ball started rolling, we couldn't stop.
It was a lot of fun, though. Thanks to everybody who came out last weekend when you streamed out the show, and Connor and I braved through 6 hours. Josh did. Well, you did like at least 2 hours, right?
Two or three, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for Hank, our producer, for making us
stop.
Yes,
thank you, Hank.
If you like the show, a really good way to help us is to get over to iTunes and leave a review for either this audio show or the video show. That is a very good way that people can get to see it. Better yet, just tell people about it. Link it in your signatures on forums or tell people in the comic shops you think might appreciate the show. Spread the word. That's the best thing that we can do. So if you want to help, that would be really good.
And finally, if you also want to help us directly, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations, where you could donate any dollar amount you like through PayPal to help us out, to keep us afloat, to keep making this great comics content for you on a daily basis. Any money you can throw away, we appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who has. We know it's tough times, and we really appreciate your support.
It's a sham. The economy's fine.
it's been one big sham that we've orchestrated to justify asking for that.
As long as you don't shop at Walmart.
Yeah.
Get trampled anyway. I think we should explain that sluts is a joke.
Yes, total humor joke.
Pink Lanterns aren't actually sluts. We just think that's a joke.
Yes. You think that somebody is going to try to like go into the shop and be like, so is Jeff Johns working on a book, The Green Lantern Sluts?
No, I just think we'll get an angry email or post about it. And I like to head that off the pass.
Yeah, disclaimer, this is all fun and games.
Like we don't think Marvel's really misogynist on the video show. We're joking.
All right, let's stop before we get ourselves in more trouble. Until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm a cowardly bastard.
Greedy bastard.
And a slut. huge slut. I would rather have been called a slut. Dork.
Fuck you, motherfucker. Shoot that motherfucker.
Did you see the commercial?
No. Is it in it?
There was an ad for it, and it was like all this stuff, and at the very end of it, it just goes, shoot that mother.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, I was like, oh. The worst line he ever read.
Oh, God, poor guy.
It's getting funnier, though. I think because now I hear Ron saying it, not him. Shoot that motherfucker!
Shoot that motherfucker! God, it was so... seriously, almost fell out of my chair.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.